Would you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 18? Let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you're God and beside thee is none else. We're so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful for your Son, our salvation. We're so thankful for your Spirit who gives us life. How we thank you for the forgiveness of sins we have in Christ. How we thank you for justification. How we thank you for your electing mercies. Lord, we ask that we would be enabled by your grace to worship thy Son. Forgive us of our sins for his sake. Be with all your people wherever they meet together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now the story before us is actually very unique. It's recorded three different times in the scripture. It's a very long story. It takes about four pages. I'm going to read all of that this morning. But it's also recorded in 2 Chronicles, and Isaiah also gives us this story. So let's begin reading in 2 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. Now, remember who Hezekiah is. Look in verse 5 of chapter 18. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Now, this is what kind of king he was. Now, let's begin reading in verse 9. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, this special king, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalman Esar, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. Now let me remind you, Samaria is the capital of Israel. And this Assyrian king comes and besieges this Samaria. And at the end of 3 years, they took it. Even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. That's the capital of Israel. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria and put them in Hala and in Haber by the river of Gozan in the city of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. So all of Israel is carried away into captivity at this time. Verse 13. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. They'd already taken Samaria, but now they're going after Judah. And Hezekiah, verse 14, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, to Lachish, saying, I've offended. Return from me, that which thou puttest on me will I bear. Tax me however you want. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. This is what you're going to have to pay to keep me from attacking you. Verse 15, and Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors off the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. He gave everything to the king of Assyria. He had a great fear of this king. Verse 17. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. Evidently the taxes weren't enough and they send somebody else. They want to go ahead and besiege Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem, and when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the Fuller's Field. And when they had called to the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, The king of Assyria sends three men, and then Hezekiah sends three men to speak to them. And when they called to the king, there came out to them Elikam, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, "Speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherewith thou trusteth?" Now, hold on, and I want to read a passage of scripture from 2 Chronicles chapter 32. This is what Hezekiah had previously said to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that's with him. For there be more with us than with him. For with him is an arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now this is what he said to them, to give them confidence with these Assyrian armies coming in the way they were coming. Now let's pick back up in verse 20 of 2 Kings 18. "Thou sayest, but they're but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me?" Think of the arrogance of this man. "Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of the bruised reed, upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it'll go into his hand and pierce. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and do all that trust on him." Hezekiah wasn't trusting him, but he thought he was. Verse 22, "But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away? Why, this one you trust, you've given up all his silver and gold to me. What do you mean you trust him? Nobody believes this. You shall worship before the altar in Jerusalem." Verse 23, "Now therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my Lord, the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them." He's saying you all couldn't even put 2,000 riders on horses if I provided them for you. "How then will thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? And now I'm come without the Lord, without Jehovah, against this place to destroy it. The Lord said to me, go up against the land and destroy it." Now, the Lord never said that to him. He said he did, but the Lord never said that to him. How many times do people say, "The Lord said," "The Lord said," or "The Lord led me to do this," or that? Don't blame things on the Lord. The Lord never told him this at all. Verse 26, "Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, and the servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall." Now, these three people from the king of Assyria were speaking in the Jewish language, in the Hebrew language, and they said, "Don't use that kind of language because that's going to scare our people." And he says, "Yeah, I am." Verse 27, "But Rabshakeh said unto them, hath my master sent to thy master and to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sat on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you?" Now he's saying, you're in such a bad shape that this is all you're going to have to eat after we besiege this city. "Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by present. Give me all your everything, and come out to me, and there eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his own fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his cistern. You'll be better off just submitting to me until I come and take you away to a land like your own, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that you may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuaded you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Don't believe that. Now look at this arrogance. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of thine hand? I mean, supposedly Jehovah's protecting Samaria and Israel. Have they been delivered? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. You remember, he said, there's more with us because the Lord is fighting our battles. Don't even answer him. He'd already given that. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the house of Sheba the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh, who was the messenger of the king of Assyria. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard, he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, unto Shebna the scribe, with the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Now Isaiah records this same story in Isaiah 36 and 37. And they said unto him, God's prophet, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, of rebuke, and blasphemy. For the children are come to birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. We're in trouble, he's saying. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear all these words of Rabshakeh, whom the Lord of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah with that message. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I'll send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. This is what is going to take place. And it did indeed take place. But let's keep on reading to see what led up to that. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he'd heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard, say of Terekus, king of Ethiopians, behold, he has come out to fight against thee. He sent messengers again to Hezekiah. This is after he's left and tried to deal with these other battles, but he doesn't want to forget Hezekiah. Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed? As Gozan and Haran and Respa and the children of Eden who were at Thelazar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, of Hena and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. May the Lord enable me and you to do the same thing. Whatever it is, spread it before the Lord. He hears. He's the Lord. Verse 15. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, the mercy seat, the place of propitiation, the place of blood atonement, the place of acceptance. Thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. You're the creator. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he hath sent him to reproach the living God. Now the truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they've destroyed them. Now, I want me and you to remember this. The God of the Bible, the God who reveals himself in this book, the God of election, the God of redemption, the God of regeneration, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the God who is salvation, is the only God, and any concept of a God that's contrary to this God is a non-existent God. The God of free will, works, religion is a non-existent God. And that's what he's saying. You're the only God. It's true, the Assyrians have dumped these gods into the fire, but they're man-made gods. What good can a man-made god do? What power does he have? Absolutely none. The God of the Bible, the great I am that I am, is the only God. Now that's what he's reminding the Lord of this in this prayer. Now let's go on reading. Now therefore, verse 19, now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. This is what we want everybody to see. That you are the only Lord God. Verse 20. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I've heard. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion. This is talking about all of God's elect. This is talking about the church. I love the way the church is called the virgin. Paul said, I've presented you as a chaste virgin to Christ. You look to Christ only. You don't look outside of the covenant. You look only in the covenant. That's true of all of God's people. Now look what he says. This is the word the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee and treated you with contempt. What can you do against the living God? Do you think there's anything about you that scares us? God is our God. You have nothing more than the arm of the flesh. It says they shake their head. Kind of reminds me of Elijah, when he's making fun of the gods of Baal that they were worshiping. He said, well, can't he hear? You better cry louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on a trip. He's saying, treat with contempt. Treat with contempt. Somebody says, you ought not do that. Well, he says too here, doesn't he? Treat with contempt. Look, verse 22. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel. But thy messengers, by thy messengers, thou hast reproached the Lord. And hast said, with the multitude of my chariots I'm come up to the height of the mountains and to the sides of Lebanon, and will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof and the choice fir trees thereof. And I will enter into the lodgings of his borders and into the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk strange waters, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up the rivers of besieged places. Look at the arrogance of this man. Now look what the Lord says. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it? You're nothing more than a puppet on my string. And everything you're doing has been my will being done. You think you're doing these things? You're wrong. The only reason you've besieged these cities is I have purposed it before time began. Let's go on reading. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it? And of ancient times that I have formed it. And now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldst be to lay waste fenced cities and ruinous heaps. This is all my doing. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. The reason you won is because of me. They couldn't stand up before you because this was my will and this was my purpose. They were a small power. Don't you love the way the Lord's in control of everything? I just love this. I mean, the Lord is in absolute control of everything and everybody and every event. Therefore, their inhabitants were a small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in and thy rage against me. We will not have this man reign over us, was their cry. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into mine ears, therefore I'll put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I'll turn thee back by the way which thou camest. You think you're going to do all these things? Well, let me tell you exactly what you're going to do. I'm going to put my hook in your nose, and you're going to be led in whatever direction I purpose. Verse 29. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and the second year that which springeth of the same. And in the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof. And the remnant that's escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. They're going to be rooted down on the foundation, and by his grace they're going to bear fruit. And there's nothing you can do about it. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they shall escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He's making all these threats. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. He's not going to be able to do anything. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, saith the Lord, for I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake, for Christ's sake. Verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 people. Now, can you imagine how he felt when he got up that morning and saw 185,000 corpses? And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed. I think he thought, it's time to get out of Dodge. It's time to get out of here. I'm in trouble. He departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. That's the capital of Assyria, the same Nineveh, Jonah, largest city in the world. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, small g, a non-existent god, an idol, something that didn't exist, that his two boys, Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, just like God said would take place. you're going to go back to your own city and you're going to be killed. And they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Who is the God that can deliver you out of my hand? The king of Assyria said. He found out, didn't he? Isn't that a glorious story? And all the details of that story are given both in Chronicles and in Isaiah chapter 36 and 37. That gives us some idea of the importance of this story. Okay.